In the 10 minutes I had known him, I'd already grown used to Damon's liberal use of expletives. But under the color, he was making an interesting point. The phenomenon of Las Vegas was much more than a card story. The town's growth, financial influx, architectural fluidity, and character were all unique in human history. Where else in the world could a cocktail waitress afford a mortgage on a house and a lease on a car? Where else could a college dropout who parked cars for a living earn enough to send his kids to private school? Kevin Lewis's story fit into this framework because it defined an integral moment in Vegas's timeline. His first baby steps into his double life coincided with the relaunch of Vegas on a mega scale. "People love to gamble," I answered, "and they understand blackjack because it's simple, and it seems like it's almost fair. People believe it's the only game you actually have a chance of beating." Damon grunted, crushing the paper cup with his meaty hand and tossing it into a wastebasket. "It's not even the biggest game in the casino anymore. Slots are more than 60% of the action. Blackjack was hot in the 80s and 90s, but we're moving into the era of machines." I nodded. I had read about the advance of the machines. Now even slots were in danger of being overrun by video poker, the internet porn of gambling games. Quick, addictive, and somehow satisfying, the machines ate money faster than a New York City rental agent. But I wasn't interested in gambling machines. "It's the 90s I'm writing about, and not just blackjack. I'm interested in how Vegas changed, how its character was reflected in the big players of the decade." Damon crossed his arms, shrugging. "Well, on the exterior, Vegas is always changing." I could fill in the details on my own. "For my research, I had concluded that Vegas had gone through 5 distinct periods since gambling was legalized with the passing of Nevada Assembly Bill 98 back in 1933. First, there was the mobster era, beginning just after World War II. Inspired by their success in illegal gambling parlors in the Midwest, infamous mafia figures such as Morris Moe Dalitz and Bugsy Siegel moved into town. Funded in part by $250 million of Teamster money, the mobsters built the first major casinos, such as Siegel's $6 million Flamingo. The Flamingo was quickly followed by the Sands, Riviera, Dunes, and Tropicana. In the 60s, the moderately insane tycoon Howard Hughes took over where the mobsters left off, adding an element of corporate legitimacy to the town through his business and political connections while funding another building boom. Then in the 70s, architectural monarch Kirk Kerkorian gave birth to the first of the huge resorts with the construction of the first MGM Grand, later becoming Bally's in 1973. At $120 million, with 2,100 rooms, the casino was the dawn of the true Vegas-styled entertainment complex and a precursor to things to come.